إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، as you know, we dedicate a khutbah every month to those giants of Islam. They weren't giants in how they were built. They were human beings like us, out of flesh and blood. From a mother and a father they were conceived. However, it was the belief they took upon themselves that made them giants of this earth. We took last month Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, and you've seen how he was committed to this religion. And today we take another person. These people, you shall memorize their names and their history, because maybe their love and their mere love and following of the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a path for you to heaven. At-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not our man today. This is an introduction to our man today. At-Tufayl comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Daws. Daws is a Yemeni tribe. From the outskirts of Daws, from the outskirts of Yemen, he heads to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see what he has. As soon as he gets to the border of Mecca, the leaders of Quraysh find At-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi. At-Tufayl was the leader of Daws. They said, if this man embraces Islam, Daws in its entirety is going to embrace Islam. So soon as he got to Mecca, they told him, watch out from this man. That man you're going to see separates between a wife and her husband, a son and his father, a brother and a brother. Just merely listening to this man and what he has to say is going to separate between you and your family. And they stayed after him, walking him from the outskirts of Mecca until he got to the Kaaba. When he got to the Kaaba, he seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because he feared what they said would come true, he put cotton in his ear so he won't listen what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to say. And he began to walk around the Kaaba and look at the Prophet. And he was amazed and astonished at the kind of prayer he was doing. So he let him finish. And then he followed him to his house. And then he said, I want to know what your message is about. He took the cotton out. Astonished, the brightness, the happiness, the peace with this man. He heads to him and he says, I want to know what your message is all about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in respect to him, doesn't recite no Quran until he himself asks for it. He said, now I want you to recite some Quran. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah is our message, he says, recite to me some of the Quran. Qul huwallahu ahad. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. At-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi says, how do I become a Muslim? Tufayl is now a Muslim. What does this Muslim do in Mecca when there's no da'wah? There's no da'wah yet. He's not ordered to do da'wah like we're ordered to. He goes back to his tribe and works on him. Now, the man of our halaqah today, of our khutbah today, is the one who was the first one from Daws who embraced Islam. His name is Abd Shams ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. Did you ever hear of him? Abd Shams ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. He comes back after a long journey. At-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi has a very long journey trying to convince Islam to Islam, the only one who embraces Islam to start off with is Abid Shams ibn Fakhr al-Dawsi. You all know him. He comes back on another journey to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he, Al-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi, says, who do you have behind you? He says, I have the only one who became Muslim with me. His name is Abid Shams ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. Abid Shams means the slave of the sun. Son of Sakhr al-Dawsi is his tribe. So he said, change his name to Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. Do you know who he is now? You all know him. Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi is no other than Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. This is Abu Huraira, the first man who embraced Islam under the hands of Al-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi. And they sit with the Prophet Muhammad. They sit with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they give him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives them advice, and they say, oh Prophet, Dawsi refuses Islam. There's nothing we could do. So the Prophet raises his hand. When he raises his hand, Abu Huraira said, wallahi, when he raised his hand, I thought he's going to put a curse on my tribe. He said, Allahumma ahdi Dawsi. Allahumma ahdi Dawsi. Oh Allah guide Dawsi. Oh Allah guide Dawsi. Both of these men went back to Dawsi. Dawsi, in its entirety, embraced Islam. And they later came back with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 7 years after the migration, 7 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is Abu Huraira? This is our concern. Abu Huraira is a man who narrated 3,574 hadith. 3,574 hadith. If you ask who the scholar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time in hadith, it's Abu Huraira. The knowledgeable, the most knowledgeable in hadith, Abu Huraira. The most one who narrated hadith is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. However, his Islam was early. However, his companionship to the Prophet ﷺ was very late. He only came to the Prophet ﷺ to live and reside with him 3 years before the Prophet ﷺ's death. So he only stayed with the Prophet ﷺ 3 years. How could a man who lived with the Prophet ﷺ 3 years narrate 3,574 hadith, and that giant next to him, Abu Bakr, who stayed with the Prophet ﷺ 23 years, narrated less than one-tenth of this? How could that happen? The answer to that is easy. This is an issue that's brought up by Orientalists to defame our hadith. You read it. I read it in English books. How could, if they have all this hadith that's authentic, how could a man who just embraced Islam 3 years ago narrate 3,574 hadith? Umar ibn Khattab was there 24 years, 23 years, and he didn't do nothing compared to that. The answer to that is simple. The answer to that is in Sahih al-Bukhari, in a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, I stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day and night, and I began to learn from him the hadith. And I said, O Prophet of Allah, I hear from you so many hadith. However, I don't remember all of them. Ask Allah that Allah strengthen my memory. The Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah strengthen your memory, Abu Huraira. May Allah strengthen your memory, Abu Huraira. And it was since then, Abu Huraira never forgot a hadith. In fact, this problem of the Orientalists was brought up during the Prophet ﷺ's time by the Sahaba themselves. By the Sahaba themselves it was brought up. They asked, how could Abu Huraira narrate so many hadith? Aisha radiallahu anha tells Abu Huraira, how did you narrate so many hadith? Abu Huraira said, the times you spent being beautiful for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the time I spent with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam learning and memorizing the hadith. Talha, they asked Talha, how did this man learn so many hadith? He said, the Muhajireen used to go to the Prophet in the daytime. The Ansar go at nighttime. Some of them would split their days. One day they go to the Prophet, and another day they skip it and go to work. They had jobs. Abu Huraira had no job. He stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, even if it meant I always, every day of my life, had a hungry stomach, because I had no job. As long as I learned something from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's all it meant. One time, the problem began, the rumor began to spread in Medina. So he stood outside of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mosque. And he said, you all say how I narrated all these hadith? What did the Imam read in Salat al-Isha that you just left of? The first one. Can't remember. The second one. I can't remember. No one remembered what the Imam had just read in Salat al-Isha of that prayer. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made the dua that my memory stay as good as it will be. And in fact, as you're going to see, it stayed as very good as it can be until the last days of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He lived 78 years. In his last days, he mentions hadith he learned in his younghood. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was tested by Marwan ibn al-Hakam. Marwan ibn al-Hakam was a leader in Medina. He said, Abu Hurairah, I want to test you. He said, gather the scholars and everyone. We're going to see what Abu Hurairah has to see. Abu Hurairah, say hadith. Abu Hurairah began saying hadith, and there's someone writing behind the scenes every hadith Abu Hurairah saying. Every hadith. And they let him go. Marwan ibn al-Hakam waited 12 months and wanted to see Abu Hurairah. Does he make up this hadith? Does he make him up out of his mind? And he said, Abu Hurairah, we want you, we had so much fun last year, we want to do the same thing over again. And he took the book and he began looking at it. But you know, Abu Hurairah, the same thing you did last year is what we want you to do this year. Exactly. Marwan ibn al-Hakam, the leader of Medina, said, Wallahi al-Azim, it's as though he had the book reading from it and I was over there looking at something else. Abu Hurairah mentioned every hadith in the same order it came in. Every hadith fully, not missing out one letter. Not putting a letter before another letter. Exactly like he said it 1 year ago. That's why Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu has the great memory. If someone says, how could Abu Hurairah have this great memory? They're contesting Al-Bukhari. Because the hadith is in Al-Bukhari where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to make dua to Abu Hurairah that his memory be as great as possible. He goes to the Prophet. He says, oh Prophet, my mother refuses Islam. He had all those embracing Islam, his mother refuses. However, he was still persistent in his da'wah. This is a man of da'wah. You got his character in da'wah. Look at his name, his knowledge, one of the greatest in knowledge. He goes to his mother and he tells his mother, embrace Islam, oh mother. You know it's the right religion. She curses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he heads crying to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet asks, what's wrong, Abu Hurairah? He said, my mother cursed you. I've been giving her da'wah. She refusing it. But now she cursed you. What does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Does he take it personal? It's his personal self. He doesn't take it personal. He smiles to Abu Hurairah. He says, may Allah guide the mother of Abu Hurairah. May Allah guide the mother of Abu Hurairah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back, when Abu Hurairah goes back to his mother, before he knocks on the door, she says, Abu Hurairah? She said, yes. Said, stay where you're at. I'm coming to you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Abu Hurairah heard that and he went running back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Out of happiness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thanked Allah and praised Allah. And then he said, Abu Hurairah, you need anything else? Anything else? Abu Hurairah said, if it's going to come like this, I'm going to ask for more stuff. And he started asking. He said, the next thing, O Prophet of Allah, make every Muslim love me and my mother, and make me and my mother love every Muslim. So the Prophet raised his hand. You know, the Prophet's prayers are all accepted. The Prophet raised his hand and said, oh Allah, make everyone love Abu Hurairah, make every believer love Abu Hurairah and his mother, and make Abu Hurairah and his mother love every believer. Abu Hurairah puts a commentary on this hadith at the end of it. He says, wallahi, there was no believer who came from the outside. Because he lived a very long life after the Prophet. Said, no believer heard Abu Hurairah, but loved me. He said, no believer loved Abu Hurairah, but loved me. And if you don't love Abu Hurairah, double check your faith and iman in Allah. This man continues to get knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, he's there. And of course, he didn't have a job. So the Prophet ﷺ put him in an area called As-Suffa. As-Suffa, if you enter the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ today, there's a bab called Bab Jibreel. If you enter that bab, that door, you're going to see an area where it's higher than all the other areas of the masjid. That area there is where the poor people in Medina who didn't have houses were sheltered. Why were they sheltered there? Because their neighbor next to them, right next to them, is the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, where his house was. He used to always, before he eats, go to Ahl al-Suffa, make sure they got their food, make sure they got their water, make sure everything is alright with Ahl al-Suffa. So he sits there in Ahl al-Suffa, and he doesn't have food. He goes to Abu Bakr and walks around with Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr doesn't understand what this man wants. So Abu Huraira tells him, let me recite some verses from the Quran for you. And Abu Huraira chooses the verses about giving in charity. He doesn't ask. He's in deep need. He's starving. In fact, he says in this hadith, he said, I used to pass out in the streets and people say Abu Huraira is a crazy man. He passed out and they say he's a crazy man. That's why he passed out. He said, Wallahi, I'm not crazy or anything. It's my hungry stomach that made me pass out. Abu Huraira doesn't understand what this man wants. And he reads the Quran of charity. Abu Huraira said, Jazakallah khairan, and goes in his house. Then Umar comes. He says, Umar, and he talks to Umar, and he asks some question about Islam. So Umar can say, you know, you walk to someone to the house, and he says, come on into my house. Umar stands on his door, and he says, again, recites Quran about charity. And Umar listens to it. Then at the end, says, Jazakallahu khairan. Wallahi, there's nothing in my house. So he goes on. And the third one to see him is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he knows exactly what Abu Huraira wants. So Abu Huraira goes in the house of the Prophet. He asks his wife, Aisha, what do we have? She said, a little vase of yogurt. What a vase. Abu Huraira got happy. That's it, he got it. But then the problem comes. He said, go bring all your friends from Ahl al-Suffa. Abu Huraira in the hadith says, I got depressed when he said that. There's only one little vase of yogurt, and he wants me to bring 40, 50, 60 people from Ahl al-Suffa to come. He said, I went, carried myself and got Ahl al-Suffa and came back. And what depressed me more is he started off with them. Everyone take the yogurt except Abu Huraira. Everyone drinks until they become full. By the barakah of the Allah that Allah gave to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all drink to get full till Abu Huraira and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are there. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, drink Abu Huraira. He drinks. He said, drink Abu Huraira. He drinks. Drink Abu Huraira. He drinks. Until he says, Wallahi, O Prophet of Allah, there's no more room for me to drink. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself drinks. And shows you. What do you learn from this lesson? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invites over 40 people. The last one to eat is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who did he put as his neighbors? The poor people, the people who didn't have any wealth, the people who had nothing. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask Allah to be stuck in heaven by such people, because they're the least questioned by Allah on the judgment day. Abu Huraira continues his legacy with da'wah. He continues his legacy in teaching Islam until he lives 78 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 48 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be a total of 78 years. You know how his nights were? One third, one third, one third. A shuttle night. What kind of shuttle night is that? One third, he gets up at night and prays. One third, his wife, and gets up at night and prays. Then she wakes up, her daughter, and they get up one third at night. That's how the entire night, from Aisha to Fajr, every single day of those years of Abu Huraira, were like that. One third, one third, one third, every night. But you know what? Look how precise they were. The second night, they flip it over. The one who got the last night, because that's the most precious time, gets the first night, gets the first third. And they switch him around. That was how Abu Huraira raised his house. A Muslim that doesn't pray at night, wallahi, that's hard to believe. Because we got our trials and tribulations in this life. We have our problems and miseries. If you don't pray at the end of night, what kind of Muslim are you? The Prophet tells Ibn Umar, نعم الرجل ابن عمر. Glory to Ibn Umar. Great man. If he gets up at night and prays. He's not good unless he gets up at night and prays. Get up at night, shed 2 tears for the Allah. Those 2 tears could be a shield from hell for you on the judgment day. Not only that, it's not one third, one third. You seen how da'wah he was. You seen in knowledge how he was. You seen how poor he was. You seen how worshipping he was. But that doesn't stop like there. 12,000 times a day, he says, Subhanallah, Astaghfirullah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allah. 12,000. Pay attention. This is the hero who was next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 12,000. And when they asked him, Abu Huraira, how could you do 12,000? Or why 12,000 in precise? He told them, back then, if you killed someone by mistake, you gotta pay 12,000 dirham to free yourself from that. From, you know, if the family agreed to take a compensation, you pay 12,000 dirham. Or if you kill someone by mistake, you pay 12,000 dirham. He said, I want to save my neck from hellfire, so I do 12,000 a day. Every single day of his life, it's narrated. He never missed one day out of his life saying 12,000 times, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. In his knowledge, you know that dua you say, when you say Allahu Akbar, and then there's silence. Who taught you that hadith? We wouldn't have known if it wasn't for Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. You say, either Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, wa tabarak asmuk, wa ta'ala jadduk, wa la ilaha ghayruk. Or, Allahumma ba'ad bayni, wa bayna khatayai, kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriq wal-maghrib. You know how we found out that hadith? Abu Hurairah goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he tells him, O Prophet of Allah, there's a silence between when you say Allahu Akbar, so you start saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. What goes on in that silence? And he's the one who brought that hadith. That's how precise he was in every movement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, who gets the greatest shafa'ah of Allah on the judgment day? Who's the one who gets that? The answer is simple. La ilaha illallah, whoever says la ilaha illallah from his heart. But the way the Prophet worded the answer is what concerns us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Wallahi ya Abu Hurairah, Wallahi ya Abu Hurairah, I didn't think anyone going to ask me this question but you. From what I know of your persistence and learning, أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين أما بعد. This is a symbol of da'wah. He's a symbol of knowledge. He's a symbol of a man dedicated to his religion. These are footsteps that you must follow. لقد كان لكم فيهم أسوة حسنة. In them is a true example. لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر. For those who praise Allah and the judgment day. In these footsteps is not just the pleasure of the story we heard. It's a lesson to learn. Learn your religion. Learn. When you see halaqat, don't run away from them. This was a man whose religion taught him to be a worshipper. Who taught him to be a man who prayed to Allah every single night of his life for 78 years, the portion of that he was a Muslim in. Not only that, look at his unique thing. One time he walked in the masjid and he said to the merchants, the muhajirin and the ansar, he said, you guys want a business deal? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wealth is being divided in his masjid. The Prophet's wealth, the khilafah of the ummah, is being divided in the masjid. So everyone leaves what they're doing and they head to the masjid. And then they come back and Abu Hurairah is still standing there. They want to beat him up. Why you make us close down our stores, close down our businesses, and lie to us and tell us there's someone in the masjid who's divided his wealth? He said, what did you guys see? They said, we seen halaqat. People teaching Quran, people teaching tafsir, people teaching fiqh, people teaching tawheed. This was after the Prophet's death, way after the Prophet's death. He said, that's the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want portion of the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you want the honor, if you want it, which is good for you in this life and in the life after, it's the knowledge, just like the knowledge of Abu Hurairah. He falls ill 48 years exactly after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived nearly half a century after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he begins to cry moments before he dies. And they say, why are you crying, Abu Hurairah? You're the man with the legacy. You're the man who, if we say hadith, it's Abu Hurairah. If you mention hadith, it's Abu Hurairah. If you mention Quran and tafsir, it's Ibn Abbas. Hadith is the legacy of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Why are you crying? He said, it's a long journey. Long journey. An unpaved way for me, and very little to go by. Very little what? Very little deeds. A man who has 12,000 tasbihat a day says, I have very little. Wallahi, I'm not crying for this life. or for feeling sorry of this life. It's the fear of the life after that I'm crying over. This was Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Oh Allah, you know I love meeting you. Oh Allah, you know I sincerely know love meeting you. Oh Allah, so love meeting me. Oh Allah, I heard your messenger say. Look how knowledge comes, even at the last moment. He said, oh Allah, I heard your messenger say, if you love meeting Allah, Allah is going to love meeting you. Oh Allah, you are my witness that I love meeting you. So love meeting me. That was the last thing Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said. The legacy ended and he was buried in Al-Baqi'a. 78, he lived 78 years, lived 48 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had under his hands the legacy of Daws in its entirety. Him and Al-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi have the legacy of all Daws. It's still there. This tribe is still now moved in the area between Mecca and Medina. It's there now. Look, imagine that. He's sitting in his grave in Baqiyah. He's in his grave in Baqiyah, and his great-great-great-grandchildren, some of them are the best scholars, wallahi. Some of them, Sheikh Safar al-Hawari, if you heard of him. He's one from those, from this tribe. This tribe built a legacy of great scholars. Sheikh Saeed al-Ghamidi, they're from this tribe, those. These are people who spread Islam and take, who gets the ajr of that, do you think? Who gets the ajr? 14 years, centuries ago, he died. And now, today, 14 centuries later, we find people who carry on their shoulders from that tribe the legacy of Islam. Who gets the ajr? It's that man whose bones are little dirts in his grave. It's Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Allah's raising him in his grave, level after level after level. Why? Because Daws and everyone who comes after Daws and everyone who follows Daws in their path of Daws gets the ajr. Abu Hurairah and Al-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi, the same with you. If one person embraces Islam with you, what about their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren? You'll be in your grave 50, 60 years from now, and Allah is raising your place in heaven. You're raising it. Just imagine that. Imagine how beautiful that is. Imagine the mercy of Allah. وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah wants to forgive you. Allah wants to give you the ajr. Allah wants you to get ajr that, you know, over time only expands. Doesn't become less. All in the desires of yourself. The desires of the evil people want to capture you. Don't listen to them. Listen to what Allah wants you to do. ثم صلوا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين فقد أمركم الله بالصلاة والسلام عليه فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشرة. اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وأبي الصبطين علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن الصحابة والتابعين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين ودمر أعداء الدين وأهلك الزنادقة والملحدين. اللهم ارفع علم الجهاد وانصر المجاهدين. اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيها لطاعتك ويذل فيها لمعصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في العراق. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في العراق. اللهم عليك بمن تجبر عليهم. اللهم انصرهم نصرا مؤزرا مبينا. اللهم من مكر بهم فامكر به. اللهم من مكر بإخواننا في العراق فامكر به. اللهم من تحزب عليهم فأبيدهم. اللهم احصهم عددا واقتلهم بددا ولا تبق منهم أحدا. اللهم منزل الكتاب ومجري السحاب وهازم الأحزاب اهزمهم وانصرنا عليهم وأقم الصلاة.